Hello, footy fans. Welcome to the Round 11 NRL edition of the In the Clear NRL podcast, the Cameron Smith Memorial edition, we're going to call it. We're joined that laughter is by former NRL podcaster Connor Hickey. Hello, Connor.
Hey, how's it going?
How's you been so far?
Yep, good. Good? Yep. No, well, it's been fine.
Well, we're missing Matt Lawrence today. He's probably partied too hard after South's win over St. George.
Upset.
Yeah, after their big win.
Well, it's not an upset if they're the benchmark of the competition.
They are now the benchmark, exactly right. It's going to be... we're going to talk about Cameron Smith because obviously he's the news of the day. We're recording this on a Wednesday. Yesterday, Cameron Smith dropped the bombshell that he's retired from State of Origin and Australian duties effective immediately. Connor, how much will New South Wales win the series by now?
I said it last year. I'll say it again. I'll say it like this. If New South Wales thinks that, Cameron Smith's not there, now we're going to win the series, like they're kidding themselves. And I think there's a lot of fans out there that think that. And it really just... That to me just says, this past like decade and a bit of Queensland dominance has just been because they've had Cameron Smith, Jonathan Thurston, Cooper Cronk, Darren Lockyer, the list goes on. But like, I know they're great players, but there's, 20 or 30, 40, however many it is, other players that have really helped them. And, I hope New South Wales isn't just thinking, we've got this now, because they'll lose. And I think they'll lose 2-1. I don't care where the games have been played. I think New South Wales will lose 2-1 again.
Why has Cameron Smith been so good for so long? I don't know. He's a hooker. Usually hookers don't have that big of an influence on a game. They just tackle and pass. But for some reason, he's able to, his leadership and just the way he controls the game with his kicking and passing and, being the second referee. He's just been able to control that Queensland team for so long.
I haven't seen any of the greats of the game really before him. I was sort of didn't really follow the NRL until kind of Andrew Johns had retired. So like, he's probably the best I've watched. I'd put him ahead of Thurston, probably just. But they're both pretty good players. But he's certainly going to be one of the all time greats of the game. Sort of not hard to see why, really, when you look at, part of the thing about any great sports player is the ability to remain uninjured. I don't think he's ever really had a serious injury.
You're right.
What I can think of, because you think of that, there's often come along players that are very good, but they get hurt all the time. I can't think of it off the top of my head right now, but just the ability to be at the top of your game for so long. And if you think Cameron Smith's played, 350, more than 350?
Plus, he's in his 360th. Yeah.
And so that's not even counting all the Origin games, which is like 40 or something, and another 50 test matches, So he's played nearly like 450 NRL games. He's probably getting closer to 500 by the end of this season. It's incredible. And he's never, obviously he's probably missed a few games here and there because of injury, but he's never had... any like recurring long-term injuries or anything like that.
He hasn't had like an ACL or a shoulder.
Which keep guys, off the park and really stops them from, I really think that that's one of the few differences between like a great and a good player is the ability to, it's not just you're good when you're on the field, you're good off the field. You can recover from minor injuries. You can do all those things. He's obviously not out there getting pissed and stuff and making some of the mistakes that other players do. That all goes to it as well. I think it's sad, it is sad that he's not playing anymore.
It's a sad day because he's been one of the greats. He's the best player I've seen by a country mile. And you mentioned the ability to stay on the field, but just his ability, the time that he has. So he just has so much time. He seems like he's playing, he's playing on slow motion compared to everyone else. And they use the ability to bring the game back to him. I think that's his biggest strength. He just controls the game and plays it to his speed. So, to me, it's going to be weird. It's a weird timing. I think it's just weird. The timing of it is strange because 3 weeks out, from the team's getting picked. Why now? Why does he do it now? Why didn't he do it at the start of the year? Why didn't he do it at the end of the World Cup? I would have thought you win a World Cup, you captain a World Cup, like Cooper Cronk did, and say, that's it. Word going around, he's carrying an injury now. He's in a bit of a sternum injury that might have played into the decision, but it seems a strange one to call it now.
I mean, I guess I read his comments. He's missing spending time with his family, which I get it. I reckon he'd probably you know, and I have no information to say this, but I reckon he maybe had a run-in with his missus or something like that, or he just had a, you know, a moment of clarity. You know, sometimes you think like, well, what the hell am I doing? You know, like what more does he have to do? You know, like there's no question he's one of the greats of the game, potentially the greatest ever. He doesn't need to keep playing to prove that. And, you know, he probably had some moment of reflection probably recently and thought, you know, like, I think I need to spend more time with my kids and my wife rather than, you know, adding to a legacy that, you know, really, like, what more can you do to?
Well, that's, I think there's two factors. Number one, he wants to prolong his career at the Storm, and playing another Origin series would likely affect that. And two, you're right, there's nothing more to prove. There is nothing more to prove. He's won Origins, he's won, how many, 12 or 11, he's won Origins at Queensland, Kangaroo World Cups, Premierships.
Dalliams.
Dalliams, he's the best, probably the best water boy if you've done that. He's done it all. There's nothing more to prove.
He doesn't need to make any more money, presumably. I mean,
can't imagine
he would.
It's not, it takes Origin. I think it just proves how tough Origin is. And the fact around that Origin period, that, you know, 8-10 week period around that Origin period, it's tough. He was talking about he plays and then just does nothing. He just plays, basically.
You don't
have time to recover. You don't have time to train. You don't have time to do anything. So it takes a lot out of you.
And all the other, you know, like all the other players that don't play in Origin get, you know, they get buys, they get two buys, you know, they get heaps of rest and stuff like that. Whereas all the Origin players, you know, Smith included, for many years, they just have to back up. You know, he obviously, I think he said, you know, saw it as an honour to, you know, back up after playing Origin. And that's, obviously that's his decision. But, you know, like, I can imagine it to take its toll. And I'm not sure exactly how old he is, but he's like 34, 35 or something like that. As you get, the older you get, like the longer it takes to recover and things like that. So, I mean, good on him, you know, like it probably isn't ideal to say 3 weeks out, oh yeah, I'm not playing Origin anymore. But I mean, you know, maybe they knew about it all year and they just didn't want the other Queensland players to be complacent thinking, I've got a spot in the team now. You know, like, not that I'd say that Jake Friend would do this, but you presume he would be the guy that would come in. You know, maybe they didn't want him to be thinking, oh yeah, I've got this, you know, I'm going to play Origin and, you know, bask in the warm glow knowing that he's finally going to get a jumper. And, you know, actually have him out there playing hard, working hard. And, you know, maybe there's a few other young players out there that think, oh, okay, now it's my time. You know, I might actually get a crack now.
Yeah, it's
because really, you know, who's, I think Matt Ballon played one game for Queensland
in 2010, I think.
Yeah, because Cameron Smith was injured, and then that was it. Like, he's been the hooker every other game, you know, for as long as I can remember. I honestly can't remember another player that's played hooker for Queensland.
That's why I thought that they might have, you know, blooded someone, you know, maybe even last year. You know, they've always had that 14th guy on the bench, as you know, they've had Michael Morgan and Daly Cherry Evans and those type of players on the bench. But yeah, I actually thought they might have blooded a hooker last year if they probably knew that it was his last series.
Didn't think that though last
correct.
Year.
Correct, and that's, in hindsight, that's probably what they would have done and blooded another young hooker, because their options aren't great. You know, Jake Friend has probably been the number two for so long, but he's having probably his worst year in a while. He's carrying a sternum injury. McCulloch is a great player. He's defensive. You know, he's a great defensive player, but he's also had a lot of injuries. And Jake Granville, you know, he's off the back of the Cowboys' slow start. He's had a bad start to the year as well. So it's going to be interesting who they pick in number nine, or if they think outside the box and maybe move Ben Hunt to hooker and, you know, play Morgan and Munster in the halves. So that's another option they got. So, yeah, he's got a few options, Kevy.
Yeah, they could go to like a two hooker rotation or something, like McCulloch or Friend, and then get Granville off the bench, because that's obviously one of his strengths.
I'm hoping that New South Wales do that this year with McInnes and Cook. I'm hoping they go with a two hooker rotation, because in the middle and Origin it's so tough. And Cameron Smith, you know, he's the exception to the rule, because he just kills it in the middle for 80 minutes.
Yeah.
But in that middle, I think you need two players. So I'm hoping they go with two hookers.
New South Wales, you
mean? New South Wales. Yeah. Well, I think Queensland might have to do it as well, depending on who they pick on that bench now. They've got Caelan Ponga floating around. They want to get him involved, whether he plays on the bench now. It's going to be very interesting to see how we go. So a lot of decisions coming up for Kevy.
Yeah.
And Freddie.
And Freddie, yeah. I don't know. It should make for a more interesting series, I think, just for the fact that, you know, Smith's not going to be playing. And, you know, let's be realistic here. Like, New South Wales is a much greater chance now that he's not playing.
They'll start favourites. They'll start heavy.
I mean, they started favourites last year too, and look how that turned out.
Well, they started favourites probably the last
year. Yeah.
Not every year. But I think you look at the team from last year, they lose, you know, Thurston didn't play last year, so they had Kronk and Smith. But they do get back Inglis and Matt Scott, so two of their experienced guys. So they do they lose three experienced guys. They do get two back, and they also have, you know, Munster and Morgan are playing.
Billy Slater, you know.
And then Slater didn't play game one last year. You know, they were a different team, game two, three. They've still got the back line. Their forwards, the Queensland's forwards, obviously, is where they, you know, New South Wales have got a chance, I think. Their front row depth isn't as strong. Matt Scott's coming off an ACL, hasn't had a great start to the year. There's chances for New South Wales to attack through the middle. Your Raiders with Papali hasn't had a great start to the year. Guys like Napa have been inconsistent. That's where I assume Freddie will target. They'll look to target Queensland down the middle, but it's gonna be interesting. They've tried that before and failed. The difference is Cameron Smith. You know, you can take out Thurston Cronk. They've got the halves, but they don't have an elite hooker now that can control the game like Cameron Smith did. No one, you know, they lose Thurston and Cronk. They bring in Morgan and Munster, who are really good players. They lose Smith. They bring in McCulloch, who's a good player, but he's not a really good player. I think he's just he'll make 50 tackles and defend, but he won't create the chances and kick New South Wales off the park. So that's where the difference this year, I think, will be.
Yeah, oh, it's interesting. You know, I've been beaten in submission mentally, but I can't see Queensland losing. Like I have no time for New South Wales. I think they just make the same mistakes over and over again. And maybe Brad Fittler will be different, but we don't know that until we've seen the end of this campaign. I find it hard to believe that Queensland has only been successful for the past, how many seasons is it actually that they've won it? Besides the one
12,
that
yeah, I think it's 12, 12 out of 13, 13 14, 12, whatever. Yeah, like, so it's,
I don't think that's by accident, and I don't think it's simply because they've had a few good, like, let's be honest, a few great players, like all time greats of the game. But you know, like New South Wales has had good players in there. You know, like they've had, New South Wales has lost a couple of series by one point, and really, a better team would not let it get into that situation, you know. So I think I just think that Queensland's dominance is, there's a reason for it, and it's because they know how to pick a team that, you know, it's not just a collection of the best players. They pick a team and they know what they're building, a team that there's a specific game plan around, and it works for them. And New South Wales can't defend it, and you know, I mean, look, we've all seen New South Wales poor game planning in the past, and I know Brad Fittler's in there now, and it might be a bit different, but. I don't want to say anything bad about Fittler, but you know, like I find it hard to see how a guy that isn't an NRL coach can come in there. You know, like Brad Fittler works in the media. You know, he's one of, you know, I know he's a former great of the game in his own right, but you know, like he does what we do on a much, you know, much larger scale, I guess. You know, like I don't get how guys like him come in and just suddenly like, oh, that's the fix that New South Wales needs. You know, like.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Connor, thanks for joining us this week. Sticking on the Origin theme, we're going to be joined by Lauren Strode from the Southern Highlands News now to talk more Origin. She's also going to give us a rundown of her 1-17 for New South Wales. Lauren, welcome to the In the Clear NRL podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Lauren, well, your Roosters had a big win on the weekend, so how many Roosters are going to make your way into the New South Wales team, do you think?
I'd have about three of them.
Yeah.
Three or four. I'd probably like to have more, but you know, based on some of our form this year, there's been a few I probably wouldn't pick. But I think Tedesco and Latrell Mitchell, Keary and Cordner should probably definitely be in there. They've probably been pretty consistent throughout the year, I think.
Yeah, well, that's pretty similar to what I picked last week. So let's run through your squad 1-17 and see who you've got in your Blues team.
Yeah, so for me, I've gone James Tedesco at fullback, Josh Adokar and Jefferson on the wings. Latrell Mitchell and Ewan Aiken in the centres. Probably a halves pairing of Luke Keary and James Maloney. Regan Campbell-Gillard in a prop. I'm still tossing up between Damien Cook and Cameron McInnes at hooker. I'm not too sure about that. And in the forwards, I'd probably pull in Paul Vaughan, Tyson Frizzell, Boyd Cordner and Jack DeBellin. And off the bench, I've got Tyrone Peachy, David Clemmer, Tarek Sims and Wade Graham.
Yeah, it's a strong-looking team. We're blessed with forward talent. You've left Jake Trbojevic out, which is a big one.
I just think the way Manly's gone at the moment, you just wonder if some of that might get in their head a little bit.
Yeah,
I think with a team and a club that's obviously really struggling and had so many problems, and I mean, even though you could cite in a way Dane Gagai has been in a similar situation when he was playing at Newcastle for Queensland, I just think this is probably a little bit worse. Manly seems to be in pretty dire straits this year, and I'd just be questioning the mental impact that has on the players in the club.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Jack DeBellum. We've talked about him a lot. I think him and Jake Trbojevic play pretty similar games. So it's going to be interesting to see what Brad Fittler does, if he picks one or both of them. I like Latrell Mitchell and Ewan Aiken. I like that centre pairing. I think that's what New South Wales... I had the same centre pairing. You think that's the way they'll go?
Oh, I hope so. I really do. I think they've just picked the same team too often based on, you know, reputation rather than form. And I mean, Brad Fittler's talking about how he wants to, you know, make changes and bring in new blood. And I think that needs to be the way that he's going to go. So I've got my fingers crossed that he does do that. And I think Latrell Mitchell could be just one of those players that, you know, creates something out of nothing. And you know, if he can pull that off in Origin for us and the form he's been showing for the Roosters, then there's a fair chance that, you know, if he does something like that, we get the win and finally get a victory over the Maroons after however many years.
Yeah, well, let's make the hard call on the number 9 jumper, Lauren. Damien Cook or Cameron McInnes, who do you think? Who do you think's got the inside running? I had them actually both in my team. I've got one in starting hook and one on the bench. I've got Tyrone Peachy. I reckon it's going to be very hard to see what they do with that situation. But if you had to pick one, I would lean towards Damien Cook, give him a bit of more explosiveness out of dummy half. I don't know. It's a tough call, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with you. I think Damien Cook's probably got a little bit more experience as well, and I think he could play well off the edges of the ruck, especially if he brings players like Tedesco and Mitchell and Keary sort of into it. I think Maloney's got a great running game. He can sort of sit back and direct, as he's shown quite well at the Panthers, but I think Cook could work well with some of those outside backs to bring them into the game a little bit more and, yeah, create some stuff off the edge of the ruck there for us to hopefully make a break and work off the back of the forwards.
The one smoky that you've gone, and I'm pretty sure they might pick a smoky, is Gutherson on that right wing. I reckon that spot is the one that's open. Why do you think Gutherson should get that spot on the wing?
Oh, I think for me, picking him is he's obviously got just a bucket load of talent. And I think he's sort of that player where you could slot him into a few different positions and I think he'll go well. But for me, it's also, he's a very passionate player. And I think someone like that, we need to get a few more of those really passionate blokes in New South Wales. I mean, there's been players in there for years that, you know, sure, they're workhorses and that. But people like him, I think we really need to inject into the team just to get that new, really fresh young blood. And I think, obviously, great passing game, good footwork. I think it could be interesting to see how he plays out there on the right, and maybe make a few breaks and, you know, set it up for some of the centres as well to get up there.
Yeah, I applaud it. I hope they do go with an all-out attack team. I wouldn't want them to go defensive. Tyrone Peach is an interesting one. I'm hoping that I didn't have him in my 17, but the way he played on the weekend, he can just play in any position. I actually think now that he might get the bench spot because he can just play anywhere.
He can. He's got incredible talent, and we've just got to start picking some of these young blokes that have got the talent that we can blood in a little bit. For me, I would have loved to have named Connor Watson in that spot, but after watching him on the weekend, I'm thinking maybe another year or two, whereas Tyrone Peach, he's really pretty much got that complete game. As you say, he can play anywhere, and he's so brilliant to watch on the, you know, every weekend, and what he can do and how he can, you know, open the opposition up. It's just brilliant. So I think, you know, we get him in off the bench when their forwards are looking tired, and that could open the game right up.
Yeah, the other one is the front row rotation. He's probably going to pick three or four front rowers. You haven't gone with Aaron Woods. I didn't have Woods in my team either. He's the incumbent from last year. But on last week's form, you'd have to assume Regan Campbell-Gillard is a certainty to start game one, and you've got him in your team. Clemmer's been playing really well for the Dogs, and off the bench, I think he's a lock for one of the bench front rowers. Paul Vaughan's an interesting one. He's playing well for St. George, and St. George are going really well. So I'm hoping he does get a start in the 17. You obviously got him starting. You obviously think that they'll name him and Regan Campbell-Gillard?
Yeah, I think especially having a lot of that, the Dragons forwards doing so well, I think it's really hard not to pick any of them. I think having them there and and having those combinations that are already in place going to help us amazingly, because they've already set such a good platform for the Dragons' backs to work off, that surely you would hope they'd be able to transfer that form into Origin. And I mean, combinations are just absolutely crucial when it comes to rep footy. We've seen for so many years how well Cronk, Slater and Smith have worked together. So, you know, I'm really thinking that if they can, you know, keep their form together, hopefully they can do for New South Wales what they've done for Illawarra. And if we can, as you say, pick a really attacking team with some great outside backs, we should hopefully be able to get up over the top of them and really roll through their forwards.
Yeah, and speaking of Cameron Smith, did the news shock Bauer like it did the rest of of the Australia yesterday?
Yeah, I think it was a real shock. I'm not too sure how I feel about it. I think, like, obviously extremely pleased, because surely now that gives us that advantage, you would think. But I'm just questioning sort of even the timing of the announcement. I find it very bizarre. I mean, obviously the reasons are understandable, but what he's given, but you'd think that this close to the Origin series, he'd be saying, you know, this is how I've felt for the last couple of years, this will be my last series. I just wonder if there's more to it than what he's actually letting on, because 3 weeks out seems like a very odd time, and it in a way sort of throws the Queensland squad into a bit of upheaval. And it just still seems a little bit odd to me as to what's really going on there.
I thought exactly the same thing, because now they've got Thurston and Cronk retired, and Slater all retiring, Thurston, Cronk and Smith all retiring at the same time. You know, none of them got a farewell series sort of thing. Like Cronk retired after the World Cup last year. It seems really strange. It's just a strange one. And, you know, he has been carrying an injury since the start of the year. And the reason he gave was he's looking to prolong his NRL career. But, yeah, there's just something. You would have thought he would have made the decision by now, not 3 weeks out from game one.
Yeah.
It does. You're right. It does seem strange. It's funny. It's left Queensland in a bit of a lurch, because – you know, their hooking options aren't, you know, Jake Friend's probably been the number two hooker for a while, but as you know, as playing for the Roosters, he hasn't had his best year, and he's carrying an injury too. So it's going to be interesting to see who they put in that number nine jump. I think Andrew McCulloch's probably the favourite, but, you know, Cameron Smith's probably won him, you know, three or four series. You know, they could have swung either way over the years. So we've got a chance this year. We've got a chance, Lauren.
Yeah, I know. Thank goodness, finally. Yeah. I mean, well, last year we really should have won the series. I still can't get over that second half clock watching of game two. But you'd really think that if we can't get up this year, you've got to question what more do we need to do to get up over them. But very bizarre. I mean, as you say, if he'd made the announcement at the end of last year, even at the start of this year, it would have made a lot of sense. But you think, even if that's the case, he's struggling. He's just such a great player that you could bring him off the bench if need be. So, especially when they've got to look to players, you know, senior players like Slater, who's getting a bit older, and, you know, Darius Boyd, who hasn't been in his best form either. You sort of question maybe if there's something going on behind the scenes there at Queensland. But, the Blues fans will just have to keep our fingers crossed.
It's our year, definitely. Yeah. I think it's our year for sure. Quickly on the Roosters, get back to Clubland. It's been a ordinary start, to say the least, but obviously the best game of the year on the weekend, 32-0 against the Warriors, who have been high-flying to start the year. Have they turned the corner?
Oh, yeah, I'd like to think so. I'm not entirely convinced, though. I mean, I thought when we had a big win over the Knights, that might have gotten us some confidence there. But, it's just very bizarre what's happened to us this season. I think it's got to be a little bit concerning for the club, because, you know, end of last year, I wasn't entirely convinced by the signings that they've made. I don't know if I am yet still. But, I think it's still going to be a few weeks, take a few more games to tell whether they've actually turned a corner or not. I don't know. I still think what's happened last season with all those players leaving has maybe upset the balance of the club a little bit. And, I really think that if we don't win the Premiership this year after the money that has been spent and the players that have been moved on, the club's going to have to ask itself very serious questions about where it goes from here.
Yeah, I actually think the Roosters are next year. I think with Angus Crichton, the way he played on the weekend, he's going to be a great signing for the Roosters next year. I think they're just one. For some reason, you know, I think they're still missing, you know, Dylan Napper and Hargraves showed if they go forward for the Roosters, they'll be a force this year. But they need to show that consistently and against some of the bigger guns teams. I know the Warriors have had a good start, but, you know, those guys, if Napper played outstanding on the weekend, if those guys go forward, the Roosters will always have the firepower at the back, especially they gave a lot of ball to Latrell Mitchell, which was great. great for them. And, you know, as I said, they've got the points in them. And to me, you know, over Origin period, you know, if Keary doesn't get picked for New South Wales, they'll have a lot of, and Tedesco chance not to get picked. You know, there's a chance they can go on a run over that Origin period. So I'll be interested to see how they all go. But, yeah, I think the Roosters, they're in the eight and they probably shouldn't be. So anything from now is probably a bonus at this point.
Yeah, that's what, I've said at the time, you know, they really need to, probably start getting more of that second phase play going off their forwards. I mean, that's been our strength ever since Sonny Bill brought us the club, and then it seems to have just disappeared over the last, you know, few months. So, yeah, it's good to see Jared Harbour is back in form. I'm not a big Dylan Napa fan, I'll be honest. So I think he sort of costs us too many silly penalties for what he actually brings to the game. But, if our forwards can keep up that consistent performance, it'll be, I think we could be a very dangerous team, although as yet, I'm not entirely convinced.
Will they beat Brisbane on Friday night?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Not sure?
That's a hard one. I'm not sure. I don't know. I usually would love to back them, but Brisbane is sort of, they're a little bit backed against the wall still. They're still copping a bit of criticism. I think they could come out firing, so... I think this will be a big game in terms of where our season goes from here. If we can win, then I think it shows we've really getting ourselves sorted and heading in the right direction. But, a loss, and I think it could sort of, spell some warning bells for the Roosters.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Thanks, Lauren, for joining us this week, and we'll catch up over the Origin period.
All right, thanks.
All right, we'll move on to our Round 11 NRL tips. With Matthew on holidays, I'm joined by Mitch Vleeskens, who will give his expert tips. He's actually leading our three-way tipping competition, if you're following online. So, Mitch, welcome.
Thanks, Chris. And yes, so I'm usually on the other side of the microphone, so good to finally make it here to the front of the microphone.
Yes, he's the guy. He's a tech guy, does all the, he makes the podcast possible. So he'll give his tips around 11. It starts on Thursday night with Penrith versus the West Tigers at Panther Stadium. Panthers get Nathan Cleary back, which is a big plus for them. And the West Tigers are without Mahe Finua, who missed training. He slept in on a Sunday and has been dropped, which is a big blow for them. Tigers come good last week. Ivan Cleary coaching against his son will obviously try and target him, you would think. But Penrith at home, I think it's a no-brainer. Penrith at home should win and win well. Mitch?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there, Chris. I do have a bit of a soft spot for the Tigers. I think they're the kind of team that... when they're winning, the NRL just feels more alive. And I really want them to win his, but as a Sharks supporter and a big fan of James Maloney, I think the James Maloney factor, coupled with everything else that's going on at the Panthers, is going to really pilot them home here. So, yeah, definitely Panthers and by a decent margin, I think, as well.
Yeah. The first game on Friday at ANZ, they're probably lucky to get 2,000 people this game. Parramatta versus the Warriors. Parramatta running last. The Warriors, they got thrashed last week. Although, you know, that's 2 out of 3 weeks the Warriors have been dealt a hiding. Isaac Luke been named for them, which is a big plus. But word out of the Warriors camp is Tuivasa Sheck is going to be missing. So that's another big blow for the Warriors, who are without Sean Johnson already. Parramatta, what do you say? They've been a basket case this year. I would love to tip Parramatta, but I just can't. After last week, just lost to the Bulldogs, I cannot tip them. I'm tipping the Warriors.
I'm actually going to go the other way on this one. This is probably the most boring match of the round, but one of the most interesting to tip, because on paper, it's team number 3 versus team number 16, and you would think the Warriors should win this and win this well, but the way they've been playing recently, I really don't think that they've got it in them to bounce back from last week's big loss. They might bounce back a little bit, but I don't think they're going to have enough. The Eels are going to be hungry after last week's loss, I think, and I think they are going to have that slight home ground advantage and actually come away with this one. So this, I'm tipping an upset. The bookies and yourself are with the Warriors, but I do think the Eels have what it takes this week to beat the Warriors here in Sydney.
If they play play anywhere near their best, I think they'll win, but they just haven't been near their best enough for me. The big one for me is, you know, the Warriors haven't traditionally played well in Australia, so that's another, you know, a plus for Parramatta. They're missing a few players this week, the Eels, but, you know, it's a flick of the coin game, that one. I'm more confident about the second game on Friday night, the Roosters travelling to Brisbane to take on the Broncos. for me, if the Roosters replicate anything what they did across the ditch, they'll win and win comfortably. Brisbane have been the team that I've disliked watching the most this year. Their whole game is just, their whole plan, the way they attack the game is just, they've won, I think, 4 games this year, 5 potentially. They shouldn't have won probably 3 of them. For me, a lot of their players are out of form. Jack Bird, your former Shark, has taken a rest apparently this week.
Too much Maccas.
Yeah, too much. I don't know. For me, Milford doesn't get involved enough. James Roberts doesn't get involved enough. They're missing Gillette and they're missing Glenn this week. For me, it's the Roosters and the Roosters by plenty.
Yeah, I do have to agree with you there. They're both teams that really are just teams of real individual players that have greatness in them. And it's only when they can come together and work as a team that they really fire. So this one, yeah. Whichever team on the night decides to play as a team, I think is going to win. And just going on last week's form, the Roosters, if they have anywhere near the kind of level of play that they had against the Warriors, then they should win this one. But I think it will be fairly close, and it depends who shows up on the night. The Roosters, like I said, a team of individuals. I don't know if they'll feel hungry enough to go up there and win it up at Suncorp. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. But I do think the Roosters will have just what it takes to take it home, but probably in a close one.
Yeah, well, the first game on Saturday is Gold Coast versus Newcastle. Last week, after watching the Parramatta Bulldogs game, I ruled the red line through both of those teams this year. If the Gold Coast lose this game, the red line goes through them as well. If they can't beat Newcastle at home after all the dramas they've had, I'm running the red line through them. And I think I will, because I'm tipping Newcastle. Just one person, Kalen Ponga, outstanding. The Knights, they just seem to make those crucial errors at bad times the last 2 weeks, which just cost them. I tipped them last week against Penrith, and you know, if Connor Watson passes inside and he finds his man, that, you know, they're leading and it's a 12-point swing, and the game just went south from there. So they're just making those critical errors, which Mitchell Pearce would probably, you know, they weren't making when he was there. I still think they'll have enough in the Titans, who do get Nathan Peets back, and Jai Arrow comes back. They got a couple of good ins, but for me, Newcastle, even though it's in the Gold Coast.
Yeah, the Titans have some good ins, but most importantly, I think for me, they have a really good out, and that's Bryce Cartwright. So I actually expect a bit of a dead cat bounce from the Titans. I don't think they're going to go on and win 10 more games this season, but I think just with the switch around in the roster, might just liven them up a bit. Kalen Ponga, as you mentioned, he's a great player. I think he will have a good time up there, but I don't think the Knights have what's in them to kind of combat the Titans if they are all working together and kind of have a bit of self-belief. And I think, you know, with 5 losses on the trot, they need to kind of find something inside them. And hopefully this roster shake-up will give that to them. So I actually expect them to win this one, and probably by a try or a little bit more. I'm going to tip the Titans on this one. I think the Knights, like you say, they will make the critical errors that Mitchell Pearce wouldn't let them make. If Mitchell Pearce was there, definitely I think it would be a different story. But just with the lack of experience, I guess, in the Knights, the Titans with a little bit of rejuvenated roster will just take it home.
I've got some good news and bad news for you, Mitch, because the bad news is I think Kevin Proctor will be ruled out along with Keegan Hipgrave. So I think Bryce Cartwright might actually play for Gold Coast. But some good news is Newcastle might have a good night out in the Gold Coast before the game. So
maybe
they might be up for the game. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that game. Second game, Cowboys versus Souths at 1300 Smiles Stadium. I would say, you know, before the start of the year, I would have tipped North Queensland with my eyes shut. But the way the Cowboys are playing, you know, along with Parramatta and Brisbane, they're the 3 worst teams this year, hands down. And you look at their roster and you can't see why. Souths, on the other hand, I tipped them to be in the top 4 at the start of the year, or just maybe, I think I had them 5th maybe. And, you know, the bird eyes, as Matt calls them, have come good. But the big one was Angus Crichton returning back to his 2017 form last week. That was a big boost for them. They knocked off the ladder-leading Dragons in comprehensive fashion. And on current form, there is no possible way I can't tip South in this game.
Yeah, I want to make the case for the Cowboys in this match just because there are so many good players in that team that have been underperforming. They're under pressure. But it's just, you can't really go against the Rabbits. They've had scintillating form in the last few weeks. I think they are going to go up there and win. I think the Cowboys will put up a bit of a fight, but just because it's back at home, I think they lost games up there already this season that they should have won, but
they've lost the Bulldogs up there. They've lost some games they should not have lost up there.
Exactly. It's definitely a Rabbitohs game to lose, but I think they'll have it what's in them to they'll have it in them to take the Bickie home this week. So yeah, definitely Rabbitohs for me too.
Yeah, another tricky one: Melbourne versus Manly at Amy Park. You wouldn't think it was tricky, but Cameron Smith actually is out suspended, which is a big loss. And Manly, Trent Hodkinson comes across, from the Shire to joint link up with Manly. That fills a big void in the halves because it allows Dylan Walker to go back to the centres. And he actually started playing well. He started to hit some form last week. So I've got a soft spot for Manly because I think, they've got some really good players. And I think they're just a couple of players short from actually being a contending team. But obviously they've had a horrible start, a horrible stretch. But I tipped an upset last week and tipped Manly to beat Brisbane. I'm gonna go double down and tip Manly again against Melbourne. I think I've tipped against Melbourne in Melbourne probably once in probably 10 years. It didn't go well. It's not advised, but I think the Trbojevic brothers they're looking for Origin berths. Also, with Cameron Smith being suspended and retiring from rep footy, it opens up a spot for DCE potentially if he plays really well. To get a spot for in that Queensland team. So it's going to be an interesting one. I'm really looking forward to this game. I'm tipping Manly in a tight one.
Very big call.
It is. It's good. I'm behind you on the tipping competition, so don't take any notice of me. But yes, Mitch, how much are Melbourne going to win by then?
I don't know how much they're going to win by, but I do think they're going to win comfortably, even with Cameron Smith out. The start of the season, just looking at roster strength, I thought the Sea Eagles were, like you say, a couple of players short of a decent roster. I still don't think Trent Hodkinson is a good answer to that problem. You're kind of playing two number sevens there in the halves, so it'll be, it'll work better than what they've got, but I don't know if it's going to be enough to beat the incumbent champs, arguably the strongest team in the competition, at home. On a Saturday night with a big crowd. So, this is Storm all the way for me.
All right. Well, Sunday's games, we head off to Mudgee for St. George Illawarra versus Canberra. Canberra, they do it to me every time. You think the games they should win, they shouldn't win. And, they're very predictable in the games this year. They should have won. They had the game against Cronulla. Your boys, they had the lead in. Cronulla were missing troops. They just should have won that game, and they didn't. And for that reason, I've ruled them out of my top eight because you should be winning those games at home, especially earlier on in the year. St. George lost last week. I think it's a little blip for them. Jack DeBellin's carrying an injury, which is concerning for St. George and New South Wales. But I don't care if they play this Mudgee, if they play on the Great Western Highway, it doesn't matter. I think St. George will win this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious there's a few chinks in the armor there for the Dragons that are being exposed over the last few weeks. They aren't completely unbeatable, which we might have thought after the first four or five rounds. But, I agree. I think this one, it'll be fairly safe keeping. And the Raiders couldn't put the Sharks away, as you said. And I think that they will not be able to stand up for the Dragons either, even out at Mudgee.
Yeah. The last game, Southern Cross Group Stadium. Mitch, your boys are taking on Canterbury. Valentine Holmes, back to his best. I was really impressed with Valentine Holmes. He's... It's going to be, we'll maybe talk about Queensland next week on the Queensland side of the next week's show, because you've got that left wing spot, which is there's a log jam of people, Boyd, Oates and Holmes looking for that one spot. And Holmes is, the incumbent, and he's playing really well. His last couple games have been really well, playing really well. Gallen comes back for Cronulla. Fifita knocked out 80 minutes last week with a bung knee. For me, it's the Bulldogs. Yeah, they beat Parramatta last week, not convincingly. If David Clemmer wasn't in that team, I don't know what would happen there. I have grave fears for that team. Cronulla, up Cronulla for me this week.
Yeah, up Cronulla as well. I mean, if I was to say to you, Chris, there's one team in the competition with on a four-match winning streak, who would you think it was?
I wouldn't say Cronulla.
It's definitely Cronulla.
Really?
They've won their last four matches. I don't think it's representative of the strength of that team. I do think they are, to be honest, around about the eight mark is where they are. They probably should be and probably will end up at the end of the year. They haven't been playing particularly well. They've had players out Valentine Holmes, despite having a good match last week, not my favourite player on the team. I think he's probably the laziest player on the team, with the exception of Josh Dugan. But last week he did kind of show that he does have some fight in him. I haven't liked him at fullback. I haven't liked him on the wing, really.
Where do you want him then?
Honestly, I was quite happy for him to have left, and we have kept Jack Bird in that kind of situation. But yeah, maybe we did get the better of the two deals in the end. So you know, I wish the guy, you know, luck and greatness in the future matches. But I think in the past he's kind of underperformed. If he can show, you know, that form from last week over a longer period of time, then definitely he will be a great player for the Sharks in long term. Going into this match, though, yeah, this is exactly the type of the match that Sharks will lose. They have no reason to lose it. It's at home, but they will more than likely, you know, find some way to make this a close game and just scrape through at the end, 9-8 or something ridiculous, similar to what they did with the Titans a couple of weeks back. So, I mean, Sharks, but yeah, I expect a bit of a wavering.
A bit of a dogfight, shall you say.
Dogfight.
I'm just looking, yeah, Jesus, the worst four-game winning streak ever. They just snuck home over the line against Parramatta, and they just snuck home over the line against the Gold Coast. They did beat Penrith. That was probably their best win of the year. So, yeah, they're just slipping on. They've got a lot of players out, and Wade Graham and Luke Lewis and Paul Gallen. Once those guys come back, I think, you know, the big Kyle Flanagan had a really good game last week in reserve grade, and he can't be too far away from getting a call-up. So, it'd be interesting to see what Shane does there. But, that's our tips around 11. That's the podcast this week, the Cameron Smith Memorial Edition. Look us up on iTunes and follow the stories and our tips online. Get our full teams, Origin teams there. Matt will be back in the chair next week. Mitch, thank you for filling in.
Thank you, Chris.
And you can follow Mitch's tips as always online, and we'll see you next week. See you guys.
See us.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.